Welcome to a special edition of the CEN show, the voice of the world community. Today we have a special show, usually be on Wednesdays. So what I want to do is I want to show what we did previously on our two shows from Monday and Wednesday. So bear with me here. I'm going to share my screen. Normally, I have this information pulled up, but not. It don't take me but a few seconds to get there, though. So on Monday, we had Professor Amara and Joe Hembrick and a host of guests, and we had a panel. Let me show everybody. Oh, yeah. We have a large panel. It was a great show. So check it out. It's Conscious Corner on Monday, Raising Black Children in a Racist Institutional Dynamic. And we had a panel discussion. I encourage everybody to go check that out. We had a plethora of excellent educators on there. So that's a good show.
And then, yeah, on that one.
Yes, and then I had a treat. I don't like telling my birthday, but my birthday was on the 31st, and I had my granddaughter on.
Oh, super.
And that was a treat, another treat for us. It made old grandpa. And there she is, Samantha, and we interviewed her. We had a little technical difficulty, so she's coming back on the 25th, on the 15th, and we're going to do a part three. But that was wonderful, everybody. Wonderful, wonderful. Right? So let me introduce myself. I'm Roski Mascani, and I rarely talk about myself. So I want to share a little bit about myself. We got a very special guest on. And, you know, I'm just pleased that this gentleman showed up today. I'm going to introduce him in a little bit. But let me share a little bit about myself. I want to share this song with you guys, just a little snippet of it. Just a little snippet. Can you guys hear that? Are you guys able to hear that song?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. I wanted to share that with you. You guys, I'm going to tell you this story. Back in 1977 over my sister's house in Compton, she was playing this music. And I'm like, man, I listen to R&B. You know, I'm used to Parliament and Funkadelic and all of that. And I'm like, this music sounds different. So It was this song, Zion Train.
Yeah.
And then we had, it was another cut, you know, and I'm like, this music's different, but it doesn't sound bad.
Right.
So a few years later, the football dudes at our school, they were wild. So these dudes was jamming reggae around the school. I'm like, man, these dudes, what they doing? And they was having a good time. So summer of 1983, I was on my way to Washington State University from Compton, driving. And I got this Bob Marley CD, Confrontation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man. And so I played that CD the whole summer.
Yeah.
And Black Man Redemption. I was like, what? And man, from that point forward, I couldn't stop playing reggae.
Seeing.
Couldn't stop. And then, you know, we came home like two summers from college, and people were transferring schools and all of that. And it was about 15 of us deep at the beach, just jamming reggae, you know, like in 1985. It was just so wonderful. And so I'm an avid reggae listener, fan, and just over the top. I make reggae CDs every month, share them with my friends. And so people don't really, you know, I had this podcast 2 years. And they really don't know about me because it's all about the guests and the information.
Sure.
So now let me move forward.
A little bit serendipity.
Well, now on my website, I got a website I want to share with everybody. And this is how we enter on to this podcast. So let me thing here so I can get it. So here's the website. There's a peek at our guest. I ain't introducing yet. But that's a peek at him. And he's on here. You can see him, but we're going to formally introduce him. So if you go to the Legends page on the website, and it says narratives highlighting significant personalities of legendary status. Really? Recognized by Roski Mascagni. So look, check that out, folks. The Wailing Wailers. Mm. And I had to honor them. You know, Bunny Wailer passed away. And so I was like, I got to put these brothers on the website. So I want you guys to visit the website and read about the Wailing Wailers and how they just touched me. And you know, it's just wonderful, excellent individuals worldwide.
Biblical name.
That's right.
Bible. That's right. Wailing, yeah. Weeping and wailing, weeping and moaning. Yeah. Wailing, always wailing, crying for injustice, crying for peace, crying against all iniquity.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, I'm an avid reggae fan, and my brothers on here, they are too.
Rastafari.
Yeah, I want to introduce my brother Iweze, brother Mashinda, brother Doctor. We all reggae fanatics. So now, so our guest this evening, I met him some years ago, but he really don't probably remember. It was at the rooftop in Los Angeles. His brother, Julian Marley, He had a release party. So I saw Rohan. I went over here and hollered at him.
Julian or Damien?
Huh?
It's Julian or Damien?
It was Julian. At the rooftop. See. This had to be maybe 9-10 years ago. I don't know how long ago it was.
Facts. Sorry to interrupt, sir.
Oh, you good. So I went over to Brother Rohan, and he just started talking. And it was like we knew each other. We didn't. But it was a wonderful experience meeting the brother and how friendly he was. So this is my guest today, you guys, Brother Rohan Marley. And
that's the part I love.
I reached out to the brother, and he said he would come on and share some information with us, and we can have a discussion.
Okay.
So, Brother Rohan, our topic this evening is Let's just show it. Everybody can see it. It's nice. It's a nice logo, too. Very nice logo.
See, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Almighty.
Yes. Let's check it out.
Come from the throne room.
So here it is. Yeah. Business with Rohan Marley, Lion Order, Higher Consciousness.
Rastafari.
And that's so wonderful. And that's our guest that you got, Brother Rohan Marley. And I appreciate you coming, brother.
Naturally.
Hey, share some things about yourself. And then let's get into what you what you're trying to convey to us. Well, Mayan order, higher consciousness.
Rastafari. Well, first of all, greetings, everyone, brothers. It's a pleasure to be amongst ones and ones, like such greater minds, you know. I accepted to speak on the panel just because, you know, it's life and truth, you know, so we don't have any boundaries of who we speak, when we speak, and how we speak. We just speak naturally. So when we talk about higher consciousness, we talk about the our present existence, living in the now, living in the moment, living in the present. So I, Rohan Marley, is a human being that speaks of the way of Lion Order and what Lion Order represent. Lion Order represent the man returned to oneself, being in dominion, walking in dominion. So Rohan Marley is a man or a being that loves to be present, love to speak of the now, because everything of the past is only emotions. And really, I don't really deal with those things. I really deal with the present because I already had those emotions in that moment. So I don't need to relive that. So the lion is a lion every day, and the lion is always present. And we deal with the now, and we deal with the next step. And the next step is where we're going. So we always talk about the future, the forward, and the present. Future, not so much, because the future is the thoughts that we have to make a reality. So, you know, that is us. And that is what I talk about when I say the higher consciousness is bringing man to man self again and reclaiming our dominion on earth as a being with breath and energy, which is life. So that is I and I, Rastafari, you know. And that comes from my father's teaching. And I am just a being from that lineage that wanted to hire my self-learning. So I took upon that to my that as a pathway to really become greater than my father, because I have my father's knowledge and my knowledge. So it has to be greater, because that's how it is. In theory, I'm not there yet. But that's the objective, you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the brother's input on what you just talked about. And, you know, buying order, a higher consciousness. Our honorable Professor Armin Ra has joined. Professor Ra, is your sound is on?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. So, okay. Professor Armin Ra, this is Rohan Marley. This is Professor Armin Ra, our master teacher on here. And I want you to kind of comment on the topic, Professor Ra, Lion Order, higher consciousness.
See,
but I think he just said it all, because Rastafari, the last Lion of Judah,
the eye, you know.
Yes, and so you know the it's a spiritual consciousness of Haile Selassie.
That's
the line of Judah and, yes. And the whole concept behind why people saw him in the light that he did. They did. And the Rastafarian grew has grown as far as consciousness. So I really appreciate you, brother, saying about that, you know, the eye, not only the eye you see, but the eye between your head right here,
the inner consciousness,
it's your holistic for your sense of emotion, mental, all of it to give you balance,
righteousness in the now, the balance in the present, because you only know balance from the now,
You have to have order too,
you're
order,
right.
Balance, balance, reciprocity. All of that, man, you know, I had a couple of brothers that mentored me that was strong Rastafari, and they used to go to Sunsplash.
Yeah. And,
brother McCall, they called their group McCall. And they had a song out called California Sunshine, but it's still about and Big Black, who played with Hugh Masekela, but he wasn't And so I really appreciate the lessons that I learned from them, brother, and the beautiful lesson I just got from you about the whole self and about the consciousness and going deep within to realize that the future is something you have to make. You
know? It comes from the thoughts.
All right, Rashiki, you can go ahead.
Appreciate it, Professor Ra. Let's go to Brother Mashinda. We started from the elders on down to the youngest one. So let's go to Brother Mashinda.
Mashinda, turn on your camera, man.
Yo, what's happening?
What's up,
brother?
I love the M, though.
Hey, that's it. Remember the M. Hey, Brother Rojas, it's a pleasure and honor to meet you today. Thank you for coming. It says a lot about you. You know, you could have been doing other things today, but you're a regular guy like us. And, we're different locations, but it says a lot about you for you to show up today. Yeah, we've heard music over the past, like you say, and, you know, read about you playing sports and, you know, because we have our people we look up to coming up and role models and people that inspire us. And man, your family is one of those iconic, emotional and, you know, enthusiastic motivators out there, at least the way I see it. You know,
love your words.
But anyway, but your energy is off the chart. You know, I feel your energy is real. And I'm just excited to hear more about, what's going on.
Presence.
And presence. That's right. I like that. That's real. But hey, I'm not going to talk. I just wanted to introduce myself and thank you. And it's a pleasure to meet you and share.
Okay, Brother Doctor.
Brother Doctor.
Yeah, he's incognito.
Yeah, I agree with everything with Mashinda just said. My only question is, you know, we had a lot of greats in our time. MLK, Malcolm, a lot of Black influencers. My only question is, why is it that the Marley legacy, the Marley kids, carry on that legacy through generations more than any other Black scholar kids?
Okay, I'm going to tell you now.
You guys have something special, man. Marley, you feel the struggle, you feel the pain, you feel the words in every one of his kids. And, you know, and I'm not trying to disappoint, but I can't say that with nobody else's family.
I'm going to tell you now.
About the struggle. Why is that?
So, why is that? That is the truth. The truth is this, you know. The origin of that as a son started my father. So now I have to speak on why is it that it came to my father, right? So when my father started out as a young man, he loved music. You know, he wanted to express himself, but he also had an identity within his soul as a soul seeker, a missionary vibe, a visionary vibe, you know. But visions are good because we can dream about anything. We can have visions of everything, you know. But as one grow as a being, one try to find the source of life. And the source of life starts with man, because we are the source of life. We're the one that give it life through the Almighty God, the Creator, made us in his image and his likeness. So we are that. So one try to find the source of life in regards to the knowledge, because it's knowledge that makes one live. We have to know how to live. You know, so when my father found Haile Selassie I, you find the root of Rastafari, and the root of Rastafari begins with spirituality, the Judea principles, the Nazarite principles, the Christ consciousness. So I would say it's because that we, as the children of Bob, the children of the Most High, we focus our lives on the teaching of the Most High. We proliferate the teachings of the Most High. We seek the knowledge of the Most High. We want to emulate, you know, as I said, we want to, because we're not perfect. And a want is a desire, right? And it's our wants are our needs. So when I use the word want, it's what we strive for. It's our desire, but we're still flesh. But we honor the spirit more than we honor the flesh. So we, as Bob children, we awaken our minds to know that if your father can awaken so many minds, what he's saying must be the truth. Because if he comes from what he come from, you know, my dad is a man who slept on domino tables to earn a little living, to be able to have a life, to be able to feed himself. You know, nothing was inherited. He wasn't given anything. Everything was earned, but earned through the balance we talk about, with spiritual balance and the material balance, you know, the flesh. So being able to have the spiritual drive and also manifest in a fleshical world, you know? So we, as his children, we accept that and know that what he's saying is the truth. So we accept the truth and we try, we're not perfect, we try to adhere to those principles. And, you know, we all fall short, but it's better to try to gain 100 and get to 80 than be on something else. So that 80% towards the truth is what we maintain and what we try to proliferate throughout our lives. So that is it. It's really a God consciousness. It's really the God within oneself that we illuminate. And that's it. It's because of Christ Almighty, Christ within self, and the Christ consciousness. Rastafari, Haile Selassie, I.
Yes,
sir. Is just to seal that up, is who we cite up as a man that can carry that divinity and still hold on to the flesh, you know, because we all exist, you know. So through that existence, we know that it's real. So we want to emulate that and want to be like that, because so, well, like God say, you know, I create man in my image and my likeness. So if you're the likeness of, or the image of, that means you're it. So, you know, and like Professor said earlier, that it's the inner standing, the inner consciousness, is the eye you see without these eyes, you know, the higher eye. The I This is the I. This is the I, which is the one that when you tap into this one, you see this one, the one around here, you know? So yeah, that is why, because it's just the consciousness we're one trying to keep oneself and try to reverberate what we know as children of the Almighty God, you know?
Yes.
Rashi.
Yes, sir.
I have a quick question, and brother, thank you again for being here. Could you explain the dreads of the lion's mane? I can't remember all that goes why you wear the dread, like the lion manes or something. I was taught. Is there a significance to that?
Yes. So remember, right? When we go into the Old Testament, you know, the Nazi dreadlocks is really a vow of a Nazarite vow, right? It's a vow unto the Nazarene. It's a Nazarene order, really. Yeah, so like I say, we're in the Western world. We fall short of the glory. So we're a tenth of that. But it's that the teaching came from the old Exodus, you know, Acts, the old Genesis, the Old Testament. So it's really the Judea principles. And if today they some of these guys, you know, they will say some of the ones, they call it kosher, but it's really a Nazarite, it's a Nazarite vow. So it's of the Nazarite vow, why, you know, one should not put a razor upon this and such for 7 years. So it's not like, you know, but, you know, we as Rastafari people in the Western world, we are extremists. But it's really of the Nazarite vow.
And then we used to have Bob Marley and then Ziggy out in California. We used to have it at the Western Club.
Yeah.
The Western Theater. Then all of a sudden they just stopped.
Well, it's the promoters then probably.
But
Ziggy Marley is Bob Marley. Ziggy Marley, so the father, so the son. Ziggy's the eldest. He's David. David Ait, King Ait. But Ziggy Marley is that. Ziggy Marley is for as a brother, we have different mothers, but we don't see each other this way. I had to say that because, you know, you will never know, because my brother is the ultimate, you know. And when we were children, our father passed away when we were 9 years old. So we only had our elders, so he had to be father.
Okay.
Stella had to be father, mother, because, you know, so the mother, so the daughter, so the father, so the daughter as well. So we looked to them for our righteousness and our teachings. And, you know, Mama Rita, you know, the matriarch, taught us the Bible, brought us to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, because it's important to nurture the soul and the spirit as well as what you eat fleshically. But, you know, all those things are important, what you want, clothes and stuff. But also the soul is more important, the spirituality, you know, like to be able to disregard your lust to you know. So that's why it's important. But we ain't perfect, you know what I'm saying? Because we're distracted at times. But those are the roots of who we are and why we are. And when you talk about Ziggy, it's like, it's to me, it's like you say Bob, you know, like to me.
Okay.
He's the same.
Okay. The other question is, could you give us some more insight on the smoking of ganji?
Herb.
And Rastafari?
Righteousness, absolutely. So herbs, like herbs in general. Herbs was given to man as medicinal, for medicinal purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's mint herb, rosemary, cannabis, such and such. But it happens to be that cannabis is the most relative to man because of the cannabinoids, in which are the same connectivity that we have in our own system, right? So herb is a part of man's healing in regards to one's consciousness, you know, because guess what? If there wasn't if there was not Babylon to tell you, like, oh, imagine someone's going to tell you this is right and this is wrong. Can you imagine you being a man and another man going to tell you what's right and wrong for you? Come on. How does it work, you know? You got to go with what heals you. We're all independent beings. We're all, you know, some people don't smoke herb. They drink the herb, you know? It's a herb. Herb is the healing of the nation. And we as Rastafari people, it's no different than even the psilocybin, the mushroom, these plants, medicine, you know, the shamans. When you go to these shamans, these great wise men, these herbs, these plants, they allow you to separate yourself from the fleshical deeds and the fleshical wants, right? Because you can always go around town and think of all the things, the materialistic, but the herb gives you some time to yourself to be able to think about the higher self and to be able to help you to manifest your consciousness into a reality, because everything starts within the thought and within the mind. So we as beings, we don't normally try to edify ourselves and find things that's going to help our minds heal, help our minds not stress about the worries. Because here's the truth, right? We know worldly, everything is a cycle. You know, you go, it's like January 1st, you're always going to see January 1st. Every 365 days is going to be a January 1st. But in my life, and the way I think, I try to go like thousands and thousands of days, because we should not live a 360 life. We have to live a linear life. But because we always see the same things over and over again, we end up, we get trapped in a stagnant place and not try to grow ourselves beyond what we were told. Because what you were told by a man, you know? Everything that you know in this planet, you're told by another man like you. So what? How did he get the information from another man? From another man? So there's got to be a point where we have to be inspired by the earth, by our own intuition, by our own cognizance. We have to be connected to the Almighty. There have to be a, like, you're not greater than me. I'm not greater than you. How do you know what you know? Where do you get the information from? So we have to be able to be, how do we connect to the ether? Right, the ether. How do we get there? What is it that's gonna take us to a place that we can have understanding? Like, you know, what do you mean? You mean you can't tell me something and I correlate that and within myself find the truth within that? You mean I can't know that? I have to go by what somebody else tell me. I can't overstand what you say to me. Like me, we have a talk. You and I have a talk, and I can't get what you say. Why? Why? Why?
Teach.
You know why we can't? Why I can't get what you're saying? Why? Because I'm indoctrinated. Because someone told me no. It's like that. It's like this. But who is the someone that you did? So when you find the root of ones and ones, then you know, hey, I don't want to follow that one, because the root of where he comes from, I don't even know his root. So that is what it really is, you know, it's really understanding the root and the wisdom. So plant medicine is what it is to heal us. It's like another guy rather say, no, don't take that. I got something for you, but I need to give you a prescription because such and such and such and such. And because of such and such, you have to go to this drugstore and get that there, because we want to be able to monitor what you do and what you take. And we got to know how much dosage to give you. But then there's a herb man in the bush that say, drink this, drink that. Put this, that together, that your belly will settle. You drink this, it'll make you pass out whatever is inside of you. What's the difference? One's opinion. It's another man's opinion. But I like this opinion. And I'm going to see if I'm going to make it a fact by the results, right?
Yeah.
So that's what it is, really, because you can't tell me you can't tell me a plant is bad? Yeah, okay, poison ivy. But guess what? You have some man that use poison ivy to heal themselves. You understand me? So what? Okay, what now? So it's really that, you know, it's really up to the man. Because imagine, we're in America, right? And you got some guys in Congress, pardon my French, one of the guys out of wherever they came from, legislatures, this, that, and the third, and they going to tell you, based upon their pharmaceutical people, to tell you what's good for you and whatnot. Wait a minute. But the guy that just told me what was good for me, he just dropped out. He just passed away from some what? Oh, yeah, he had an alcoholic problem. Oh, yeah, he had a high blood pressure. He had this, he had that. But this guy just told me that herb wasn't good for me. But he's no longer here. What am I listening to this guy for? Why am I talking things on my own self? Why do I need this guy's information? It's like, for instance, It's like the education system. It's like the school system, right? Imagine a valedictorian working in McDonald's. What? How you get there? Oh, yeah. They didn't accept my resume because I didn't have the experience. You didn't have experience, but they say you're a valedictorian. Yeah, I know, but I don't have any experience in the work field. What? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, but this guy, he started in the mailroom, and now he's a CEO. He never went to school. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. It's nonsense.
Can I get some more coffee?
What is the truth? The truth is what one needs for one's soul. What's going to make us live to see our generation? How do I get to see my grandchildren, 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 grandchildren? That's it. Like, how do I get to see my generation? And how do I teach them? How do I remind my child to teach his child to teach his child to teach his child? You know, what kept me soulfully uplifted, soulfully strong? You know, why? Imagine me sitting here worried about what day is today. Today is the fourth or the third. Imagine me sitting here worried about the 30th because I got to pay a bill. It's the fourth. Why am I thinking about the 30th? You don't even think about the fifth or the sixth or the seventh. Why am I thinking about the 30th? Why is my mind there? Why am I not living now? You know, why am I not present? Why am I not in the moment? What is it? What is in my thoughts that's keeping me so far ahead of myself today? You know, imagine, you know? And guess what else? Your memory, right? It's not truth. It's a lie. Because some of the things you remember didn't happen. It was in your dream. You didn't physically do it. So you don't even know if it's, wait, did I dream this or did this really happen? So you know what you need to do with your memory? Forget about it. You already did that. You already lived that. You know what we need to figure out? Our next step. The next moment. The present emotion, you know? Where are we going? That's what... How can, you know, I always used to say this, you know, if you want to be mad at me because of what I did yesterday, you're going to be mad at me forever because you're going to always remind me what I did yesterday. You're going to remind me what I did 10 years ago when yesterday, now it's 5 days later. Oh, remember what you did a week ago to me? Okay, it's now a month later. Man, last month, you can hold me there forever in the past. I don't want to be that person. I don't care about the past. There's nothing I can do for it. So cannabis, ganja, herb, mushrooms, psilocybin, these things help us to be futuristic. Meaning, think about what we're going to do later. Like, how do I manifest this idea I have in my mind? How do I make, like, okay, I want to create something, but it first becomes our thought. Then we have to go to it. We can't create it. We have to go to it now, which is the future. We have to get there. So it's all the incremental movement that's going to make us manifest this truth. So that's herb. Herb is a part of that. Herb helps us to collect our thoughts, focus our thoughts, and be able to manifest our thoughts into a reality. So you asked me about herb. What is herb? That's a long answer.
Yes, sir. So let's get to Brother Iweze. Let me tell you a little bit about Brother Iweze. Yeah. Brother Iweze is deep.
Iweze!
into the
flag, Iweze.
Into the word.
I appreciate that.
Brother's deep into the word. He got a book out. Yeah. Brother Iweze.
Magic. I want to hear.
Talk to us, brother.
Anything, by the way. Brother Iweze, first of all, before you say anything, you can say anything.
All right. All right. Well, peace and blessings, Brother Rohan. Well, yeah, just to build on the herb, I got a scripture here. It says, this is from Genesis chapter 1. Yes, sir. I know you know. But for the audience that don't know, yeah. It says, let the herb, and God said, let the herb bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Yes. And God brought forth the grass and the herb yielding seed.
Yeah.
But to make it short, at the end of this, he said, God said, it was good.
It was good.
So it was good. So it's like, who are we to say to go around and to say that what God created is bad? You know what I mean?
Remember this, right? So we speak of the Nazarite, and we speak of Acts, and we speak of Exodus, right?
Yes, sir.
Speak of these things. Remember, you're not bad because you eat meat. You're not bad, but you just have a lower vibration. You understand?
Did you put sugar in there?
So it's all things are built upon vibration. So the first man was built on the consciousness of the Most High, the way of the Most High. But then obviously, as time goes on, it's like a message. You know, I tell you, hey, John went up the street to tell Joe not to do this. By the time John tell Joe and Joe tell Eric and Eric tell Peter, it kind of changed a little. You know? Oh, yeah. John said you should go down the road, not up this, you know. So it changed a little. But it's still the truth, because it comes from man, but it's just the vibration. You eat meat, you eat what you eat. It don't make you a bad person. It just makes you you vibrate lower standard, because the higher standard, the higher consciousness is of what the truth of the Almighty God, the immediate truth. But your flesh, and you feel like you need to appease to your flesh, and you want to appease to your belly, so you're gonna eat yourself to be full. You're gonna eat because I'm full, you know. So, but it don't make you a bad man. It don't make you bad. It don't make you bad. It just makes you more short term. Memory short term, life short term, thinking short term, all these different things. Because emotionally, when you take on to other flesh, other beings with blood, you collect that consciousness, you know? It's like when you live with another woman, you take on what she has, you know, as well as she take on what you have. It's the higher consciousness, is life. So in the beginning, man was given all the principles. But you know what man say? But wait a minute. The lion eats this and that and the third. This one eats that. Why can't we eat what we want to eat? Oh, you know, well, go ahead. Eat what you want to eat. But just know that when I speak to you, you better listen. Because I don't eat what you eat. Because remember, your thoughts are carnal. You have carnal intentions. You have carnal thoughts. You don't honor other beings. You don't see other life forces as important as you are. So you have lost your humility. You have lost your humbleness. Because you're appeasing to your ego, you know? So you wanna tell the creator, no. If he can do it, I can do it. It don't work like that. Everyone's an individual. The animal kingdom is the animal kingdom. Our kingdom is our kingdom. The only thing that we have in relation to the animal kingdom is the spirit. You know? It's like the birds, they fly this way when it gets cold. We all do, you know. It's like there's, but they don't necessarily on their journey, they don't eat what they eat what makes them fly, you know. The lion eat what gives them the energy, but that's not his spirit, that's not his soul, you know. His soul is of the consciousness, like I, because we all got to stand before the creator. Everything that walk and live it upon this planet got to face the creator, you know. But guess what? We have a higher responsibility. So like Genesis say, man don't want to hear what they say in the beginning. Man want to take it down further. They want to get the watered down version. But it's okay. Don't make you a bad person, you dig? That's not what makes you bad. It's your doings that make you bad. It's your hands that make you bad. What you do with your hands and your feet, your words, like what they say, Sticks and stones might break my bones, but your words may never hurt me. Yeah, words are just like the wind, you know? You come to and fro. But if you're good enough within yourself, you grasp the good knowledge for you. That's going to make you a higher being, makes you more higher in yourself, higher consciousness. So you can have a longer life. Because the journey is live as long as you can on this planet so you can see your generation. Is it? You dig? It's like how long you can live without ailments. You know? How long can you survive without ailments? That's life. Then you go away with the flesh, you decay, and then you try again. But that is life on this earth, is how long we can maintain this flesh. And how to maintain the flesh is, it was told in Genesis. I gave you these things. This, like the man, the 800-year-old, such and such. That's because of the origin man was like this. But guess what? Remember when Abraham went to crucify his son? That was Abraham, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What did the Almighty say? No, 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 no. Kill the lamb. But guess what he did with the meat? That he fed the hungry people because they were hungry. Remember, man should not live by bread alone, but some do. Some need the substance because they think about, oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, I'm so hungry. You know, but what about the man that's fasting? How is he correlating hunger? You know what I mean? Like 40 days and 40 nights, you know? And it's and remember, that's just a blink of the eye in our eyesight. Because remember, one day in the Almighty's eyes is 1,000 days. So good 40 days, he probably never ate food. Live off of grains and these type of things, honey and such and such. So it's all about perception. It's all about thoughts. So if you wake up every day and you got to go hunt for your food, what do you think your mind is on? Food, right? You ain't hunting for your soul and your energy. Yeah. But in the beginning, you know what it is in the beginning, it was minimal, minimalistic.
Brother Wise, you want
yes.
Dr. Wise, I talk so much, don't
I? Oh, no, no.
You want to comment about lion order, higher consciousness?
But let him comment what I just said too, and then go into that.
The okay. Lion order, higher consciousness.
Dr. is a teacher. Well, he's a biblical, and I like to see how much I am. I love to see how as a being, how much I try to stay in touch with the beginning of time. You know.
So, I'm just
vibing off of, you know, off of the reasoning session. You know what okay. I mean?
Hey, Wise, he wants you to comment on what he said first.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in full agreement of what he said, pretty much. You know, we like kindred spirits. You know what I mean? Right. So, yeah, you know, a little piece of information about myself. I grew up a little bit in Jamaica.
See,
you know, I don't know if you are you familiar with Flonker?
Yes, of course.
That's where I grew up a little bit from seven years old to 12 years old. You know what I mean? So
wow.
Yeah. So and my step pops, he was a roster. So he would, yes, sir. So we would be on the veranda.
Yeah.
You know, and I would in that breeze every now and then I would catch a little whiff. So
yeah,
you know, I know what it is.
So for instance, you know, so like I'm into these things. I'm into moments and scenery and everything. So when I look at you and I look at what's behind you, I know where you're from. I know who you are. And I know that you have tapped into the Marcus Garveyites. Yeah, I know.
Yes, sir.
I know this.
The,
you know.
the red, the black, and the green.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful because Marcus Garvey is who led us to Haile Selassie the first.
That's right.
Yeah, so
Red, black, and the green, the red, gold, and green. I got a question about your father and by extension, how it pertains to like your overall spiritual development. Because a lot of people see, you know, they know your dad as like the quintessential Rasta who spread the message of Rastafari worldwide. You know, like I remember I was in Jerusalem, in Old City.
Yeah.
And in the Palestinian part, you know what I mean? And in the Palestinian part, they was bumping David, Bob Marley.
Davidstown. That's Davidstown.
Yes, sir. That is.
Yeah.
So they was bumping Bob Marley, but a lot of people don't know that at his homegoing service there in Jamaica, that it was officiated in part by the Ethiopian Orthodox Church.
Rastafari.
Yes. Yeah. So I was curious to know, because I'm a researcher, historian.
Right.
So, you know, any opportunity I can get, you know, just to hear it from the man himself, you know what I mean?
I give you, tell you now. So in 1930, when Haile Selassie took onto the throne, first of all, he was born Tafari Makonnen. Then when he became a little older and he was a ruler of a region called Harar, where he was 13 years old, he became the regent of Harar. Well, sorry, before the regent, Lij Tafari, which means Lij is really prince, Tafari, prince creator, right? So after being Lij, he transcended upon the regent, became the regent. And the regent, he got the title Rastafari. So Rastafari is a Amharic word. Ras in Amharic means head, your head. Tafari is the embodiment, right? So Rastafari, the head is like the God self, head of oneself, right? Rastafari, I mean head creator of oneself. Then when he was crowned in 1930, he took on to the name with all the 24 elders, all 72 nations, or how many amount of nations they are, came there and bowed in the presence because it was of the line of Judah, the throne of King Solomon, King David, the journey between Queen of Sheba and Solomon when they begot Menelik, is all the fulfillment of the prophecy. He took on to the name Haile Selassie, which means power of the Trinity, right? So when that happened, Marcus Garvey, he told the people of the Western Hemisphere, the Black people, the African descendants, the people of a darker shade, he told us that we should no longer look to the European teachings of their principles and beliefs, of what they depicted as a Christ or a picture of a Christ. He told us that in 1930, as Revelation said, that this man will be crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords, conquering line of the tribe of Judah. Now, when we think of that, you have to go into your good book again and reference. It's all your references. So we live in this world, right? And the same world that we live in today are the people that educate us and the people that tell us yes or no, right? The same world we live in, the same functionality, the same knowledge that we have. And they told us that the lineage of Solomon, King David, is the ruler of this earth. King David's throne is what rules the earth, right? Just like how you have the Roman throne, which is in England, Queen Elizabeth's throne, that throne. Remember Caesar and all these people, Constantinople, all these people, they have a throne, the Romans have a throne, right? So that throne, there's one throne for them and one throne for us, but them means it's not just Europeans, it's just them as in regards to Babylon. Remember the one that crucified Jesus Christ himself? They're not bad people, they're the police, they're just what they are. They want to rule over human beings, right? Which they don't have the right. So Marcus Garvey told I and I of the Western Hemisphere to look to the crowning of a king in the East, which is Ethiopia, right? And that this king is going to be crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords, conquering Lamb of the tribe of Judah, elect of God. What does elect of God mean? The same rights of King David, the ruler of this earth, the king of this earth, right? The number one man on this earth through lineage, through prophecy, through philosophy, just through the existence of what we all read today, the good Bible that we have, the Quran, the Torah, they all say the same thing. All three of these religions, even the Buddhists and all these people, they all say the same thing, right? Because energy always exists, but there's a man that will grasp it all, right? So Marcus Garvey told us that Haile Selassie is that man. And when we did our research through our findings with the like what everybody else does, like every other scholar, they research, right? So you mean to tell me you can look at the same book as I and you have a better understanding than I do? Why? Like, how come? No, my understanding is within myself and what I feel within myself, you know? And this is what we overstood by Marcus Garvey as a shaker and a mover in the African diaspora, telling us as the African descendants, the darker shade, that, hey, look towards Ethiopia for your leader and your king. And he represents the throne of the Almighty God. So that's when it began, that day, 1930, right? And as you know, Rome, remember the great Roman Empire, Rome went into Ethiopia 1936 to conquer Ethiopia again, just like they went into Ethiopia 1896. Why did they go to Ethiopia 1896? Remember back in the old Bible of ours that we read about when Constantinople or the other guy that walked, Pius, whoever, that walked around and they put the mark on your door that they come in for all the newborns. Remember when they wanted all the newborn male? Well, 1892, well, you know how they knew that. Because remember, the earth didn't change. The sorcerers didn't change. Fortune tellers didn't change. The people that read the star, they don't change. So the astrological people, just like they told that guy that, hey, by the stars, there's a man that's going to be born. So they went there but they don't know where he is. So they wanted all the newborn male. So in 1892, Haile Selassie is born. In 1896, Rome went there again. Do you know what they went to do? To kill all the male. To kill all the newborns. They couldn't touch His Majesty. They were conquered by the Battle of Adowa. They were conquered by Menelik the First again. Menelik the First, the great emperor, right? In 1930, when Haile Selassie stepped on the throne again, Rome came back 6 years later, 1936, to abolish that same order again. The divine, the defender of the faith, line of Judah, elect of God, they wanted to eliminate the man with those titles. They came to eliminate that again. So we, as historians, like, we didn't get the education through Cambridge to say you're an historian. No, but we have the same rights to the books because the libraries are free. And we have beings that are prophesying, just like in the old days, like Marcus Garvey, that told us whether Marcus Garvey is not perfect or not. Yeah, he's also flesh and he's spirit too. So there's time when the spirit speaks and there's time when the flesh speaks, just like every other man. You dig? But in this spiritual sense, he left a message to the African diaspora that, hey, look to Ethiopia for the crowning of your king, for the crowning of the one that represents the throne of the Almighty God. And that is Haile Selassie I, because no matter what Haile Selassie does as a man, how he uses the toilet, how he does this. Oh, but when he uses the toilet, he sits on the toilet, but we sit down on the toilet. You dig? That's not what we want to know. No, we want the teaching. Give us the teachings of His Majesty, because we don't want
the devil's philosophy.
That's right.
Actually, you dig?
That's right.
And that's for every man. Give us your, you know what, man? Hey, man, you mad right now? Talk to me when you feel good so I can hear your good side. I don't hear the side when you're mad. That's the devil's side, you dig? So Marcus Garvey showed us that way. So this is why the I and I have to see the light and see the truth. Yeah, see the light and see the truth, right? And that's why that's so important to us. I hope I answered your question. I think I went off a little bit.
No, before you guys transition away from me, just to settle my curiosity. No,
but did I answer your question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. In part, though.
In part. Give me the other part.
Like I was saying about how the Ethiopian Orthodox Church.
Right. Okay.
Did y'all?
Thank you. Stop.
Okay.
Stop. So it was a journey.
I was curious if your father converted to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church or not.
I just lost. One second. So now, Haile Selassie now, right? It takes the throne, right?
Yes, sir.
Haile Selassie hears about the people of Jamaica praising him, right? Haile Selassie comes to Jamaica in 1966. And what Haile Selassie did, he says, listen, he didn't say this, but it's right. In theory, you're absolutely right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to send to Jamaica the first Ethiopian Orthodox Church. What is the Ethiopian Orthodox Church? The Ethiopian Orthodox Church began in 4 AD when the eunuch met Philip when Queen Candace was in power. And when he traveled from Jerusalem and was on his journey, and he met when Philip, one of the disciples of Christ, he met the eunuch. He told the eunuch about the beautiful wonderfulness of Jesus Christus, right? And he converted the eunuch on the spot. So it's like John the Baptist did when Yeshua, right? He converted him on the spot. He baptized him. And then the eunuch went back. You remember, the eunuch has no, you know what a eunuch is. He has no warrant for woman or nothing. So that's because he couldn't lust after the queen. So he was the guidance of the queen. He went back to Queen Candace and told her of the miracle, the marvelous meeting with the eunuch. And that day, Christianity began in Ethiopia. So the Ethiopian Tewahedo Orthodox Church that believes in God as one, Father, the Son, the Holy One, as one within man, there's no separation, just like we are. We are in the likeness and the image. His Majesty then, because that's the original church, original Christianity, original way of the way it is. His Majesty is devoted to the church like that. He says, well, they follow me. If they truly follow me, well, this is a part of me. He sent the church to Jamaica. So my father was the one that received the Abba, the father, the priest. They live with us in the same house next door, in the same yard. The priest, they live with us. So we, as the children of Bob, we grew up side by side with the priest. My brother Ziggy and Stephen were the first deacons in the church. Ziggy and Stephen, they were deacons in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. All of Bob's children are baptized in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. I was baptized in 1978. And when you're baptized, you get an Ethiopian name, you know? So that church was how it went. When the Abba was sent to Jamaica, my father was one that was responsible for him. So, like, he did everything for him. Same today, Mama Rita, with the family. So that church was what was sent there to Jamaica for us as Rastafari to take on to the spirituality not just the flesh of man, but to also understand the divinity of Christ, the divinity of Christ consciousness, and how to become one within self through spirituality, through worship, through prayer, through fasting, and returning to the way of the Judea principles, which is Ethiopian Orthodox is a Judea Christianity. So that's how that is, was established. And we follow that up until this day.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. I want to have a question for you.
Sure, sir.
On our platform, we talk about a lot of blackness and how to improve blackness and just the people in itself.
Well,
but I wanted to ask you, what is your concept of race?
Blackness?
Of race, period.
Race, right?
Racism, race.
Well, me, remember me. I'm speaking to me. First of all, I'm the highest being on this planet. Me. I don't see color, creed, or ethnicity. Right? I see divinity, right? And yes, we have people of lower vibration that judge a man by skin tone, but they're idiotics. They're idiots. And they're idiots, right? But the true consciousness is of higher self and higher consciousness. It's not a flesh thing, you know? Because when we talk about color and those things, we're a nation, you know? We're a nation of people. We're the only people in the world, I mean, let's say American, that go by color. Everybody else is a nation, you know, and then they indoctrinated us. Like when you look at your form, when you fill out a form, right, they got the Asian. Are you Asian? Are you this? Are you even Hispanics? They try to screw them up a little bit because then you don't even know where you're from. Are you Mexican? Are you Brazilian? Are you Bolivian? Because you all speak a different type of Spanish, and even the Brazilians speak of Portuguese. What nation are you? How do I identify you as a nation? So what they did to America, they separated the man from the earth, right? And they made us into slaves when we're the origin of this land. So that thing is all a flesh thing, right? It's all an ego thing. I'm greater than you. You're no greater than me. Look what I used to do to you in the day. So I'm going to remind you of the small amount of people I did this to, but it's really a farce because we are the kings and queens of this planet. But, you know, of course they'll capture a few of us because they catch us walking late at night and they got 10 of them. They'll capture one and then they'll use us as an example. Look what we do to you. We whip you, but you know, we whip us. You whip a few of us, but we're the fucking, pardon me, you don't whip us. We're not slaves. We're kings and queens. Yeah, you captured a few of us and tried to make us slaves, but you captured kings and queens. Yeah. So, but what they did was tell us, oh, we come from slaves. We come from this. No. We come from kings and queens. You tried to make us your slave. We're not a fucking slave. That's your interpretation of us. But we, in today's time and in essence, we took on to their doctrine. We come from slaves. What do you mean you come from? How do you mean you come from slaves? You ever spoke to your ancestors? Where did they tell you they come from? My father was a great king of this and that and third. So how then we come? We are we skipping that? You dig? So what we have to refrain from is calling ourselves depleted. Because what's the difference? Like if you go to the hood, right? You got two guys on the play field, you know? The guy throwing the ball to the guy catching the ball. The guy catching the ball becomes an All-American. He lives in the fucking mansion. The guy throwing him the ball decided that he's going to sell a little bit of dope on the side. So he ended up being incarcerated. You dig? So you don't get the same wealth as the one that he threw the ball to. So that's the disparities. But they both came from the same place. They both, the neighbor of the, they both ate the same food. the neighbor, the community, the neighbor of the neighbor, the guy from that same neighborhood. They all went to the same school, they played on the same team, but one guy made it, the other guy didn't, in theory, right? So it's all in the mind. So then they tell you, oh, you're suffering. No. You know what it is? It's about your doings. You got it. Because you know what? We live in the world of Caesar. We're in Caesar's world now. You dig? You can't. You're Caesar ruled this place, right? Roman. We're in a Roman Empire here. You dig? We're in Roman territory, Roman laws. Guess what you do? When you're in Rome, you do what you know you have to do when you're in Rome. You know what you have to do when you're in Rome, right? You know what you do when you're in Rome?
Well, you act like Romans, but is that the way to act?
That's it. You know how you act like Romans? You know how you do it? What's the speed limit? There you go. That's Roman rules. Those are the Roman made their rules. So guess what you have to do? You have to abide by the rules because you're in Rome. And when we go to somewhere else, we abide by that. And that's just how it is. That's just the earth, right? So when we as a nation can be like, all right, first of all, it's all in, we're all independent. But let me tell you why the group thing don't work. You see, when you leave the group function and you go to your house and you close your door and your little son say, Daddy, I'm hungry. The group ain't going to feed them. The group got their own fucking child they got to worry about too. So it's the group don't work. The group is a farce. It's not a group. There's no one group. You know, group. When your woman is arguing with you and stuff and she want to throw you out of the house because you did something she didn't like, what group's going to put you up? There's no group. When your kid this and that and the bills coming, what group is supporting you? No, there's no group. We have to realize that this is all independent, right? We're all beings, and each being, like, you know, the old saying, every tub got to stand on their own, whatever they call it, you know, like your own two. Yeah, that's just how it is. You in this world, you got to make it work for yourself. This ain't no group thing. Let me
ask you something, Brother Rohan.
Sure, sir.
You heard of Neely Fuller?
Who?
Neely Fuller Jr.
You know what? I'm not so good at names, but I've probably seen the face.
No, I'm saying, He's in other words, he's saying what you're saying.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not good at names, but I'm not.
But no, I'm just saying this is a 94 year old guy.
Oh, really?
That comes on he has a weekly show.
Nice.
And
I like that. You know that tells me I'm on something. Well, no, because this is just inspiration, you know.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is what I'm inspired to say, like how I see life. And it's my own feeling. And I'm not the only one.
But see, he got a book that has counter racist codes. So therefore, he always talk about it's not, he said, you are the leader.
Yeah.
He said individual. He said it's the codes.
Yeah.
Your codes and what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, your hands.
Either your the results.
Your hands. Your hands, mouth, and feet, and your look, what are they again? These things, this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing, and this thing. That's it. Everything else you can close when you sleep, right? You have beautiful dreams, right? Don't you wish you could sleep for 48 hours and keep dreaming? You don't need no food. Yeah. But when you get up and wake up, you got to do these things. These are the things that matter. So it's your daily doings that is your result of your life. You can't blame nobody, man. You can't blame nobody why you got to eat chitlins. What do you mean? You eating chitlins because that's all they offering. What? Oh, who offering? Who offering that to you? You know what I'm saying? So when you start to figure out, hey, man, the man not offering me this. This man don't even eat chitlins. You get what I'm saying? So when you start, you got to go. When you start getting into the depth of life and depth of understanding of this planet and that you are an individual, just like when you lay with your woman and you birth a child, That's just you, one father, and you're responsible for that individual. It's just it. You think someone's going to look after your child for you? No. It's all an individual thing, you know? And brother, when you told me about the teacher at 94 years old, and the reason I laugh is because those are my educators, you know, the ones before me. And I just love it because it makes me know that I'm right within my own self, because I'm not alone. And, you know, and I'm awakened through my medicine, because I don't just go to school, and I don't like school like that, because they don't teach me what I want to know. You know, now, I don't want to learn how to add one and two.
Let me say this. You see this brother down here, Professor Amin-Ra?
Yes, sir.
He is responsible for at least 3,000 people getting a degree.
Yes.
And he's a professor of Black studies. And when I was at my lowest point in my life, this brother gave me some information that has me right here today.
Guess what, though? You see teacher right here, right? You see teacher? Teacher teaches us how to live in this world and how to move through this society, and the knowledge that you need if you want to exist in society, you know? Teacher is super important because, like I said, when you're in Rome, you need to know the rules and laws and regulation and how to bring bread to your table. Because remember, in Rome, you're going to mingle with everybody, you know? So there's, like I said, we are flesh and spirit. So we have to do fleshical things. Like, we must drive to and fro. We must understand green, yellow, red means go and stop and such and such. We must understand the systematic things that came before us here in Rome, you know? So professor teaches us of both. Hey, you are this nation and you are also here. This place operates like this. I have the knowledge. Follow this. So now you can educate yourself and learn and function in the societal way with all the knowledge that professor has given us, because it's how we function in today's world. Because it's flesh and spirit, right? It's both. It's a balance. So the professor is truly needed. But when I speak, don't get me wrong, when I say education, I don't mean that type of education. I'm talking about the emotional education, you know? The emotional things, the one that tells you how to feel, not the doing one. There's two kinds, you know? There's the one that teaches how to feel and what to accept. It's almost like they're like trying to educate you in school today. Imagine this, that, hey, man, if my kid is 7, he feels like he want to be a woman tomorrow, I'm going to educate him on how to turn into a woman. What? Exactly. Exactly. So education is many facets to it.
So Brother Rohan,
yeah,
I'm going to go around the panel one more time and see if the brothers have a comment or question, and then we're going to end, and then we could do this again.
We never end.
What you look?
We never end.
We're going to come back.
We're going to pause for a little bit.
Okay.
Catch up again.
Let's go back. Professor Rod, comment, question?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I just again want to thank you for your wealth of knowledge, your insight, foresight, and hindsight.
That's the fact.
From the standpoint of the I, you know, the I. The quick question is, you know, there's so much with regards to the mystical aspect of Jamaica, the landscape, and does that environment inspire the deep thought that produce Bob Marley, Ziggy Marley, yourself?
Yes.
That environment of freedom and dealing with the earth and dealing with nature, you know, the role of nature in your consciousness. How does that come?
Okay, so here's the beautiful part about Jamaica. It's a small place, right? It's only like back in the day, it was like 2.2 million people. Now it's like 3 million or 2.8, something like that. So everything's more concentrated, you know? So if something happens down the street, you know? And also with all the great leaders before us, the Marcus Garvey, the Howard Powell, all these teachers, you know, teach and understanding Babylon and being that Jamaica was colonized by the British Empire, right? And how Nanny, Paul Bogle, and all these ones fought for their freedom in the early times, it created a sense of purpose that we as Jamaicans people, we want to be free. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery, because none but ourselves can free our mind. So we were taught this way to fight against Babylon because of what their actions were, right? They brutalized. There's a thing called Green Bay Killing in Jamaica, where they brutalized all the Jamaicans for wearing locks because the Queen of England wanted all her people to have shaved heads and a clean face, so you have no identity. They want to cut your first of all, they shape you up here. They take away this peak that you have here. They shave you in the back of the head like they do the priests, and they make us all look alike, right? So we want our own identity, and it started from that, from the oppression of the British Empire with their slave mentality and their Babylonian ways and their Caesar ways and their Pope ways to treat I and I as, what do you call it? Like, what's that word? Scholar, what's the word? Invalids? What's, I don't know, like, treat us like...
In the throne.
Exactly. Just like that we're of a lower kind. They try to break us into becoming lesser of a human being to teach us that they're greater than us. But we as Rastafari people, we found the king. So yes, that culture, those ways, coming from the land of wood and water, having the farming, the eating habits, because you know in Jamaica, there's more churches per square mile than any other region in the world, as well as a bar. So don't think we're like special. So there's a church and a bar. There's a church and a bar next door. But also like Jamaica's where the Ku Klux Klan started. It's a lot of things gel from that region, right? It's the most corrupted nation within a nation, you know? So we were taught from an early age how to withstand the colonialism, fight against colonialism, and to become more Afrocentric within the inner standing, like you say, the I and I, that higher self. So absolutely, our culture and the people that were awakened, because remember, you still have Rome there. It's not like it's not just everybody. You dig? Many are called, but only a few chosen. So through that now, we as a being growing, we were able to like grasp to that because we know that we're also spiritual and flesh people. So we're able to grasp to that. And that's what made us what we are today. But if you go to Jamaica, there's still murders, there's still crime, there's still hate, lust, greed, jealousy, and envy. You know, that's just how it is. No different than how Eve was in the garden and there was the same thing. So it's like that. But one, no different than America. But one, like Father say, one has to find one's individuality and be connected to the soul. And we feel like Rastafari is what was able to bring us together. But in Jamaica, you have also other movements, like there's Kumina, you know, there, which is another African drumming movement. There's other sect of people that really try to find spirituality. So to your point, we're a small nation, right? So everything is more concentrated. So because of that, we get to see it more openly, you know? So yes, that contributed to a lot of our way we are today with the leaders and stuff.
Again, Asante, thank you for a beautiful presentation.
Yes, love.
Thank you, Professor Rob. Brother Mashinda.
Brother Bashinda.
Yo, Brother Rojas.
Yeah.
So, thank you for transferring that energy today. It was good to pick me up, sharing your consciousness.
That's the
elevating, edifying the consciousness.
Yes.
That's right. Appreciate it. So, one other thing before you go. So, and you speak, you have a, seems that your framework, your who you are is embedded, and you talk about Christ-like and things like that. So, which I don't have a problem with.
Christ consciousness, about, remember.
That's right. Remember. That's right. I know. I it's like I'm looking in the
Christ
mirror.
The consciousness.
Right. Understand. So, like in this country, though.
Yes.
You know, what's like in our individual communities and in our churches, you know, the, you know, how you're putting it, how you're breaking it down right now. And it seems that in a lot of our, you know, corner churches in America.
Yeah, they're governed by the Pope.
Yeah, so this there
church,
you go.
Under the World Church Council, and they have to, all right, let me tell you about, sorry to cut you off, but let me tell you about churches in America. Churches in America, in order to get certain benefits and certain things and certain that and certain this, you have to sign up to be a part of the World Church Council, which is governed by the governed by Rome. So in order to get like the non-profit, all that stuff, tax-free, all these things, to be a church, to have your church here, to be recognized under the church system, but only way to be recognized, you got to have no tax, all these benefits, you got to sign up with the World Church Council. And the head of that is Rome. So the book they give you to teach is the book they authorize. So, sorry, continue.
No, that's the explanation I was looking for.
Right.
So it's just an explanation of why the people, a lot of the people are still enslaved in their minds. You know, they're not free. You know, they're going in maybe into the right direction as far as seeking spirituality. But I see what you're saying, that the World Council is pretty much controlling their movement, their
facts,
their every move.
Facts. And we're so, it's like, all right, I'm going to give you a quick instance, right? So when I played for University of Miami, I was one Saturday morning, we're driving towards a game, you know? And I write on my socks before every game, Ja Rastafari. Nike would complain, what is he writing on his socks? Because they have their symbol there. They told my head coach. I said, Rohan, Nike wants to know what's on your socks. I used to see everybody write on their wristband, God bless. I say, it says God bless. You know, but I ask every player on the bus, I say, listen, you know, we're all African. We come from Africa. You know what they respond to me? I ain't from Africa. I'm from Plymouth. I'm from Apopka. I'm from this place and that place. I say, really? I said, there you go, right there. So that goes to tell you, right? Because you know how it is. They raise us to be sentimental beings and to follow what my granny was beat to learn, you know? They want me to follow the doctrine that you enslave my granny. Yes, she go to church, but let me see the book you're reading, right? My granny go to church, but what book are you reading in church? They snatch this is the book you must read. What hymn are you singing? No. These are the hymns you must sing. So, hey, okay. And then the head of the church, the pastor guy, because the guy outside is taking care of him, he has to follow those rules. So what we become indoctrinated by the pastor, because what is the pastor? The pastor is flesh. And what does the pastor want? He wants his private jet. He wants his big house. He wants everything that the congregation wants. You want the congregation to fund him. So it became a business for him. It's like these are his customers, and this is what he's selling. So, yeah, that's it.
Call them Bible pimps.
Bible pimps, that's what they are. Because they go home and they study the Bible and they can pimp it. Yeah, they can. Yeah. If you know something better than I do, you can teach me.
Brother Bashinda, is that it?
Yeah,
Did I answer your question, sir?
You did that. You did that. Hey, you got to come back. All right.
I'm forward forever.
Yeah, well, all right.
I will. I will. Just invite me. Invite me.
How about this? I'll see you in the future.
If you invite me, I am present.
Okay. Bet.
Brother, brother Doctor. Thanks, sir, Miss Enda. Brother Doctor.
No other questions. Great show, man.
All right.
Doctor, Brother Doctor. I love that name, Brother Doctor.
Well, see, let me tell you how that happened.
Yes. That's,
those are his initials.
Right.
He's incognito. He's incognito. So I just started calling him Brother Doctor.
Right, nice, sir.
Brother Weze.
Weze, one more thing for you.
Yes, man. Hey, I just want to commend you because you are one of the main Marley sons who put out the Marley coffee, right?
Well, a little bit by myself. Yes, I'm the founder of Marley Coffee. And let me just tell you 5 seconds of that story.
Okay.
At the time, I was dating Lauren, well, always Queen Mother, Miss Lauren Hill. My respects to the Queen.
Big up.
Beautiful children. She's the goddess. She's queen. Super high knowledge. Super.
Big up to Lauren Hill.
Super, super, super high knowledge. One day she says to me, "Hey, man, what do you do?" I said, "What do you mean what I do? I'm here taking care of these children." She says, No. Because at the time, she was the superstar. I was being the father in the house. She says, No. What do you do? I says, "Well, wow, I got to find something to do now because I wanted to play football. You know, it was right after my college career, but I failed at that." So my father estate, we got $200,000 from a publishing deal. There's a land in Jamaica going for $200,000. I said, "Well, I can entertain that. I got the money." So I went down there to see the land. When I visited the land had coffee on the land. You know, so I asked the community, "Did they know anything about coffee?" They said, "Yes." So I then extended my hand and said, "Well, we're in the coffee business." So that's how I started Marley Coffee. That was 1999. So I built Marley Coffee from scratch. I've then started a hotel in Mexico, Romali Beach House. I've now started my own cannabis company called Lion Order. Great founder of the House of Marley, which is like organic headphones and such. So everything on the entrepreneur side in my family business, I was a four leader of that because, you know, I claim I went to University of Miami. My family, they're musicians. I claim that I should do something else. You know, this is my claim. Like I can't, I don't, I, well, I can't sing. So I had to figure it out. So that's how I got into coffee and all the entrepreneurial things. But what I did do when I started Marley Coffee, I said, "Well, all right, I know nothing about this, so how am I going to do this?" I said, "My first thing, I'm Rastafari." What is Rastafari? Rastafari is Ital. Ital means organic, you know? So I said, "Well, first of all, no chemical on the land, because if it's my land, it must be like Rastafari. I have to eat from the land." And then I learned about sustainability. Or the community, they need jobs. I said, "Well, here I am. Here I take this land in the community. This land cannot go anywhere with me. So it's always going to be the community land. I just have access to this particular area in the community. So now I can use that area to help to proliferate the community and create jobs. So they're a land that they can put their foot on that was just a piece of land before. I brought some type of vibration to the community and able to create jobs." So that was my way to get into like a business. And I realized that the farming industry, if you're not producing enough, you can't do what you want to do. So I had to create a product to be able to suffice that. So that's how I got into all the coffee stuff. And now I've grown to become an entrepreneur in many different facets.
Excellent.
Man, I appreciate you. Thank you for coming through. And I just want to, as a final word for me, I just want to extend my sincere condolences to you and your family for the loss of Joe Mercer Marley, you know, who was a legend in his own right. for my sincere condolences, brother.
That one hurt us deeply. That hurt us deeply.
Thanks. Yeah, we felt that way over here too in Long Beach. We felt it. You know, it was kind of like, man, it hit me just like when we lost Brother Aki Becker. You know, that was like another great loss to the reggae community, the Rasta community. Yes. So sincere condolences, brethren.
Thank you so much. That hurt us deeply. Yes, my brothers, I thank you so much for your time and your excellent energy. And the elders, I thank you for giving me the moment to express myself and to express who we are as a family. And pardon me, but that one hurt us deeply. So thanks so much.
The Most High. The Most High.
Thank you. The Most High. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So, yes, Father. So anytime you're ready for me, I'm always available. So just give us the sound.
Appreciation, man.
I can also sit and listen. I'm not always a talker. I can sit and listen as well.
Now we're on every week. You're welcome to pop in when you want to.
Send me a link and I'll pop on just to listen. Just have ears.
Well, we always interact. So we never, man, we here. But thank brother, you. I really appreciate it. You brought something to us. When I said we're going to end, you said no, we're going to take a pause. So you have coined that for us in our platform, and you are a part of our platform anytime you like. Hey, appreciate you, brother. I really do. And we're gonna keep doing this until we can't do it, and then we're gonna pass it on.
Rastafari, yes, we're here.
Yes, President. Sir. So please, I want to talk to you a little bit right after I end the recording. So please stay for a minute. Can.
Absolutely.
Okay, so everybody, I want to share what we got coming on Monday and Wednesday. Professor Rob, you want to tell us a little bit what we're going to do on the 6th?
Man, that's birthday, by the way.
Yes, yeah, we're going to give a shout out to Brother Bob. For sure.
Yeah.
We're going
to do a round table again.
Nice. Jump in. I want to be around for it.
You're going to be busy in Jamaica.
I know. I might be here, you know, because, you know, it is sometimes. I mean, you can't be everywhere.
Okay. Well, so I'll send you the link. I'll send it to you just in case you want to come on.
Please do.
Yes. Yeah. And then we have on the 8th, Wednesday, we have Sister Making It Happen, the impact of inflation within the Black community.
Yes. So
those are two shows we got.
I'm not gone. Just one second.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. We appreciate everybody coming. Brother Doctor, Brother Iweze, Master Teacher, Professor Rob, Brother Mashinda, another Master Teacher, Elder. Hey, it's been real. So what are we going to do? We're gonna pause. So we're gonna say conscious corner, but go ahead, Brother Rob.
I got to say hello to my brother Iweze and the doctor.
Professor Raw. How you doing?
Hear y'all voices. You know you doctor. You heal us all with your voice.
Brother Doctor.
Our prescription, brother.
Brother Doctor.
Yeah, the good doctor is a healer. All right, I'll get back with y'all, man. I got, you know where.
Man. Family fives.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, so each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Rastafari. Everybody enjoy their day, and we're taking a pause.
Yes, sir.